RIP to the competition.
World, it's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey, aka Pull Up Petey, aka Cody Zeller got how much? And I'm fucking back, baby. It's been a minute. I'm finally over this Mets World Series, or excuse me, World Series, I wish.
Mets World Series.
Finally over this Mets, hold on, my phone's ain't hitting, I can't hear shit. Finally over this Mets wildcard loss, so I'm finally feeling a little rejuvenated after a very tough couple weeks for your boy, but I'm out here maintaining, man. I got my boy Abe Schwadron as usual. Abe, what is good?
You know, just a little anxious today, election day, but we'll get through. This is a nice way to distract ourselves.
Yeah, we got to get these takes off, man, because this time tomorrow the world will either be on the verge of ending and podcasts and NBA might just not exist anymore.
Yeah, we might have to go, like, Josh Smith just signed in China, which I think is perfect timing.
AKA Josh Smith B reporters.
That's what I mean. You know, if he needs, like, you know, PR or marketing or just someone to spend all his money, we're available.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Maybe social media manager.
Word. But yeah, I mean, so we've been slacking, admittedly, as we've been reminded by our boss numerous times that the slacking has been real.
Well, we're finally able to busy ourselves with going to games, man. Thank God. We haven't been here since the season started, so.
I have been to zero games thus far this season, but, okay. You know, we're going to start rolling these out weekly. We had to get a little business situated with the Poddington, so glad that got handled. But, yeah, man, I mean, everyone's played about six or seven games at this point. It's still way too early to really get a great, great feel, but,
yeah, you know, but it's just so nice to have it back.
I mean, I would say it's great to watch League Pass, but it barely works on any given day. So shout out to my
girl. League Pass is some shit.
My girl Nicole at League Pass. We talk daily as she tries to reset.
Really?
Yeah, man. She I hit her up every day. I say, hey, my shit isn't working again. She said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Then she fixes it. And I said, all right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
And how does wifey feel about your daily interactions with Nicole from League Pass?
Listen, my League Pass business is between myself and myself only. So, wifey doesn't even know what League Pass is. I don't think she just knows.
She knows now.
She just knows there's basketball on constantly,
all the time.
Yeah, she doesn't really understand how, but she knows it's there.
Somehow, my League Pass thinks that I'm in Washington D.C. So the irony is that I'm blacked out of all the Wizards games, which are the only games that I basically got League Pass for. I mean, yeah, I like to watch everyone around the league, but if you listen to this podcast, you know the Wizards are my team. So ironically, I'm currently still blacked out from watching my own goddamn team on League Pass. So
I mean, not necessarily.
No matter how many apologetic DMs I get, shit isn't working.
Not necessarily a bad thing, though, considering
how dare
the record and play
right
thus far.
Let's just not even talk about that. Let's skip right past that, please.
Done. I don't think many people outside of you and the 10 friends you have listening to this really care about the Wizards anyway. But yeah, I mean, what do you want to start with? Should we talk KD? Should we talk Russ? What's good?
I mean, I think for me, and we kind of talked about it before, but with all that stuff going on, I think the way that James Harden is playing so far deserves number one billing.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to the Knicks Rockets game last week, I guess, and I mean, first of all, they blew them out.
The
Rockets blew the Knicks out. And just the way that Harden, calling him a point, he's not a point guard in the traditional sense, but he racks up, he's had, what, four games of 30 plus points, 15 plus assists already.
Yeah,
four games.
Seven games.
It was done three times in the whole NBA last season, I believe, and never in Rockets history.
Crazy.
Until this season. He's done it four times. And the reason is half the time he'll just walk the ball up. He'll immediately, basically, it's funny too, because D'Antoni, before the game when he did his media availability at MSG, he was asked, like, about, you know, how making James a point guard has sort of changed things. And he was basically like, yeah, there's no reason for us to camouflage anything. If everyone knows we're going to give him the ball and just do pick and roll or let him go right down the middle and create anyways, why don't we just do that from the beginning of the play instead of working the ball around for 10 seconds and then giving him the ball?
Yeah.
So half the time he does that, he takes one dribble over half court, lobs it over to someone for a wide open three, or lobs it up to Clint Capella for a wide open dunk. These assists that he's getting are not like, you know, he's not working hard to pass, make some elaborate pass. It's just being James Harden, you wind up in situations where you get easy assists.
Yeah, and
it's amazing to watch.
I mean, no one has led the league in points and assists per game since Tiny Archibald. I don't know the year, but like that's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, I would even go as far as saying like breaking Scott Skiles' 30 assists in a game doesn't. I mean, he probably takes too many shots to, like to ever you know reach 30, but there might be a game when he's at like 23 assists at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and, like. It won't be a big surprise. So what if he's
legitimately flirting with a territory where he could have like a 50-point, 20-assist game?
Yeah, you know what?
And you know what's funny about that is that'll happen. That'll happen, and all our Instagram comments will be like, "Oh, but he don't play any defense though." Okay.
I was reading. So Steph Curry broke his own single-game three-point shooting record last night when he hit 13 threes. And
ridiculous.
We posted something on Instagram, and I was looking through the comments, and a Kobe fan was like, "How come you don't get on him for only having 5 assists? Whenever Kobe used to drop 50 and only had 5 assists, people would bug out. What's good? This is bullshit." And it's like, come on, man.
I was thinking the same thing, actually, when I saw that Instagram post go up. I couldn't wait for the comments to find some reason for that to be a bad game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. People are mean on Instagram, man. It's tough. But I do it for the gram, man, all day. But yeah, just a quick note on the Rockets too. Like sitting at 4-3, the record isn't crazy impressive right now. But I didn't realize they played six out of their 7 games have been on the road thus far, which is crazy. I can't think of any other star like that that I can remember. So you know they're gonna get some nice home cooking coming up, and you know I wouldn't be shocked if they ran off like 5 out of 8, 7 out of 10, and just you know really climbed up the West.
And Harden doesn't take any games off.
No. Nah.
You know, a lot of stars around the league at this point, you know, nicks and bruises, they'll take games off. He takes pride in. I mean, you've mentioned this many times before on the podcast, but he'll probably end up playing all 82, barring any major injury. So.
Yeah, and it's – I don't know. I mean, it's kind of insane that he's putting up these numbers, and, like, obviously it's way too early to, like, really talk heavy MVP race, but he's probably not even the favorite for MVP at this point. Like the way LeBron is playing is just so impressive, so under control, and you know everyone's focused on the Warriors, what they're doing, and Russ and what the Thunder are doing, and the Warriors are just quietly undefeated, cruising right along. They had a little bit of a scare in Philly, but other than that, they've just been literally unbeatable, and LeBron has just been, you know, near triple double every night, playing limited minutes, just in total control of the game, looking like he's just a step ahead of everybody. And everyone, you know, the Warriors broke the record last year. I mean, there's no way that the Cavs are going to win 74 games.
No.
But, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to win 65 at this point, seeing what LeBron is doing and how the team is playing around him. Like, Kevin Love looks great. Kyrie Irving is, you know, dark horse MVP candidate if LeBron starts hitting some games. So I'm just very, very impressed with the Cavs and the way they've started.
Okay.
All right, that covers the Cavs.
I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about, you know, like this is the way that this season is going to go, though, right? It's like the Cavs and the Warriors are going to kind of cruise along, and the real stories are going to be looking at these other, you know, that second tier of guys like Damian Lillard to the world. Mm-hmm. What is Westbrook doing to Thunder, off to their best start in forever for that franchise at 6-1? Like those are kind of going to be the real, like, stories and fun things to watch. It's not going to be, in a weird way, it's not going to be sexy to be like talking about the Cavs or even really watching them beyond, you know, the sort of art that is LeBron James or Kyrie Irving shimmying around on people. But you know what I mean? Like the season.
So basically, we're going to be
two thirds of the way through the season. Yeah, exactly.
That we're having now about the Cavs a month from now.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
They're, 16-4 and right, just cruising exactly. Right along. But you're, I mean, to that point, Like the stories coming out of Cleveland now are they're asking LeBron why he thinks the NFL ratings are so low. It's like gotten to the point where it's almost boring for even reporters to cover it.
How about LeBron and JR being on stage with Hillary?
Oh man, you gotta love that, bro.
Yo, it's gonna be so weird in like 20 years when like there's like a some kind of like documentary about President Hillary Clinton and J.R. Smith is standing there in a Clutch Sports snapback on stage.
Yeah.
Imagine, man.
I mean, you got to put your money on Hillary now. I mean, obviously, LeBron can't lose at this point in his life. So as long as...
Oh, thanks for jinxing it, man. God damn.
Nah, man. LeBron, I put the ultimate faith in LeBron to bring this home. Hopefully by this time tomorrow, will be heresy and tyranny against the United States.
Maybe this question has been answered already, but not to me. Like, what... How did JR end up being the human being that was there with LeBron on stage with Hillary?
It's all about Clutch, man.
Like, how is he... Like, were they like, yeah, you get a plus one, and he's like, I'm bringing JR? Maybe that's just, like, his auto plus one wherever he goes, like, clubs and stuff, so it was just...
Do you think Hillary Clinton knew who J.R. Smith was before?
This is what I mean. Like,
do you think she was stopped by security trying to go to the
stage?
She
was like, yeah, it'd be great to have LeBron and J.R. Smith come to my rally. What?
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. That, I would hope that if she said that, that's amazing. If she was just like, you know, out of all the Cavs, instead of getting Dan Gilbert, instead of getting Ty Lue, you know, I'm a huge J.R. Smith fan. I just think what he stands for, I agree with. And like, not for nothing, a few days before that, at the World Series, J.R. Smith is out there with his shirt off trying to rally the Indians. And coincidence? Maybe not. That game didn't really get interesting until J.R. Smith showed up on the television screen.
Yeah, but they didn't win.
So? Still was an amazing game, and it turned amazing once J.R. had his shirt off.
Yo, if Hillary would have made like a 3-1 lead joke there.
Oh, it would have been a wrap.
That's what I mean. Like,
all right. So speaking of that, the Cavs are going to be at the White House this weekend. Does Obama make a 3-1 joke?
I don't think you can now after what happened in the World Series.
Why? It's two completely different
sports.
Same
city, though.
So what?
They're sensitive.
Okay, so, all right.
Barack will be spitting the hot fire jokes, though.
Yo, the thing about Barack is he's going to be coming with flames from here on out, from now until January 20th.
Yeah.
He's just going to be spitting fire. I can't wait. He already has been during this election campaign trail.
Do you think he's
gonna be going so hard?
Do you think in the history of the going forward history of America, right, will there ever be a better basketball player in the White House?
I mean, maybe if LeBron's son decides to run for president. Yes. Wait, what if LeBron runs for president when he's retired?
Well, dude, I mean,
yo, could you imagine if LeBron
literally anyone
was president
can?
Of the
all
United
you gotta do
States?
Is have like a lot of Twitter followers and be on TV. Apparently, you can be a presidential candidate now. So.
All right, so let's spin this a little more. LeBron shows up at Hillary's rally, right? So he's already getting He's already getting into the political landscape. Mm-hmm. You know, he's gonna say, "Hey, after Hillary, if Hillary wins, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say she will." You know, reporters are going to ask him, you know, do you think you had anything to do with Hillary winning?
And I like this.
And he's going to say, oh, yeah, of course. You know, I don't think a lot of people know this, but I have a great interest in politics.
Oh, here we go.
10 years from now, LeBron is retired. You know, he's sitting on 100 zilly. And he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to start funding my own campaign.
There's really only one or two ways you could go there. It's like own a sports franchise or multiple or
run for president.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And
you
dude,
it, yo,
dude, by then, listen, breaking news on the podcast. But and you got to also imagine that by that time, votes are going to be, all you got to do is use a hashtag on Twitter.
He's
got to
tweet. He's got to tweet it out.
You know, done deal at that point. All he's got to do is get Bieber to retweet one tweet about him with the hashtag. Done. Election over.
It's over. LeBron's president. It's great.
All right. Good podcast.
You know what? The first thing I thought this morning, though, when I woke up, I was like, why can't I just vote on Twitter? Like, what is good?
That's what I mean. That's how you vote for NBA All-Star game.
Why can't you just
why
do it
isn't
now,
it the same
though?
Thing?
Why can't you just, you know, wake up and say, I want to vote for this person?
There's a lot of catfishing on Twitter, man. I think that's...
Too many eggs out there?
Yeah, too many Twitter eggs.
Word. All right, you got anything else?
About the election? About LeBron's future presidency? I'm trying to think basketball wise. What was the first thing I thought today when I woke up? Probably related to
that Wiz, right?
Oh no, I already blacked that out the night before. It was a long time ago.
Oh, here's something we talk about a lot: the Pelicans being such ass.
Well, yeah, this is where I was going to go with it, because that was the last thing I saw before I went to sleep. Was actually, like, randomly, the Pelicans kind of stuck with Golden State for the first quarter of that game last night.
Mm-hmm.
But then, obviously, like, I mean, and this is, I'm not a rocket scientist with this take here, but, like, you know, it only takes 2-3 minutes for the Warriors to all of a sudden take, like, a 15-point lead on you.
Right.
And that happened somewhere in the second quarter. And the amazing thing to me watching that game is that Anthony Davis legitimately gets triple teamed on nearly every possession. Anytime he catches it inside the three-point line, essentially, he's got one guy on his back and two help defenders coming.
And he still had, what, 33 last night?
Yes.
Light 33?
Still averaging 30-plus points per game.
Not a single win, man. That team sucks.
Yeah, this is what happens when you get the bad karma of releasing Lance Stephenson when he's hurt.
Facts. So, I mean, we championed them in the preseason.
Yeah, we championed them because they had Lance Stephenson, and B, we love Shaq Diallo. And my man can't get any fucking burn.
I know.
And then they release Lance when he's hurt.
I know. They don't play.
I think I'm out on the Pelicans, man.
I'm done with the Pelicans. They don't play our boy Lang Galloway at all. It's fucked up, man. I mean, I think we got to start the free AD campaign. Get his ass out of New Orleans. He's just wasting away there.
Yeah, that's like another one of the. I mean, not to always bring it back to the Wizards, but like this is. If I were a Pelicans fan, I'd start to sense that in the same way that Wizards fans kind of already are feeling that John Wall's prime, some of his prime years of. Already been gone to waste. Like, you got to be start to feel the same way about Anthony Davis. They're wallowing away.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder, like, what's a good team that he could go to? I mean, the Celtics have a ton of picks, but I mean, if you're training for a top five player, you got to come up with something hard.
But if you're in New Orleans,
picks,
there's
right?
No way you can get rid of him, though.
Yeah, but he can just bully
his way out.
Yeah, I mean, why not? They put nothing around him. They signed Solomon Hill to big money, who's done nothing.
This is me not saying anything about Solomon Hill's.
They don't play Shaq Diallo.
Well, that's the ultimate.
I mean, okay, they're granted.
Free Shaq.
We're not going to spend much more time on the Pelicans.
No, please no.
Granted, they're hamstrung by injury. No pun intended. And, you know, terrible, terrible luck and tragedy for Drew Holiday. But... you know, at some point, you got to put out a winning product, man. They fired Monty Williams after they made the playoffs. That was a major gaffe in hindsight. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm out. I'm out on the Pels after championing them. The team I am in on is the Brooklyn Nets. our boy Sean Kilpatrick is killing.
Yes.
So, shouts to him. But another team that we certainly hyped up and a lot of people have hyped up has been the Timberwolves, and they've been off to a pretty dreadful start at, I think they're, what, 1-5? 1-4? 1-5 to start the year?
1-4, yeah.
Yeah, they played Brooklyn tonight.
Weirdly, haven't played as many games as the rest of the league, but...
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've watched a few of their games, and, you know, people really, I think, underrate the value of experience. And, you can have as much talent in the world, but... it helps, and it means a lot to have guys that know what they're doing in crunch time and know how to win games. And none of the guys on the Timberwolves know how to do that except Tibbs. And you can already tell he's starting to lose his mind. He's freaking out during interviews. He's already coming hard at his team, saying they're soft. You can hear him screaming his head off during broadcasts. So he's already getting wild frustrated with this team. But, you know, do you think we jumped the gun on the Timberwolves?
I don't know.
Good?
Like, I mean, obviously, you hate – I mean, look, we're 5 games into the season for them. So
yeah, but 1-4 is hole to climb
you
in
can,
the West.
You can make – no, look, I mean, as far as the landscape of the West, I don't know. I can only sort of comment on the individual guys and what I've seen. Like, I feel like we have seen actually a little bit of growth from Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's been like a pleasant surprise. But
low-key most improved candidate.
Could be. Yeah. Mike could be. But the Chris Dunn thing is sort of weird to me. Like, we all kind of assume that he's like slightly older than sort of a lot of guys that come into the league now. He is not NBA experience, but pretty experienced as far as being a big time player in college and, you know, handling the pressures of being a leader and a point guard. And a lot of people liked him for Rookie of the Year. Sky Zoo was here a couple weeks ago, months ago, whatever. He liked him for Rookie of the Year. Well, we liked him for Rookie of the Year, too. Like, he just, for whatever reason, hasn't found his NBA rhythm yet in the way that, you know.
Well, playing point guard is hard, man. It's the hardest position to play on the court. And, you know, Ricky Rubio, for all his flaws, is still an experienced, proven point guard in this league. And, you know, with him out and Chris Dunn having to shoulder the load, you're going to have growing pains. And that's exactly what the Timberwolves are going through.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is, like, you compare Chris Dunn is, I believe, 23 years old already.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell, 20 years old. Yeah. Granted, he has, you know, that extra year of experience already in the NBA. But you look at what he's doing so far this year. Lakers, like, it's like it's night and day difference. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of that is going to come from, you know, like you said, Tom Thibodeau, like, you know, brings his rookies along slow, notoriously. And it's the first five games of Chris Dunn's NBA career, so nobody should freak the fuck out. But, you know, you look over there at the West Coast, see what D'Angelo's doing. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, we've traded multiple texts already early in the season saying, oh, the Lakers are fun as hell. And they are, man. I mean, you know, we talked before the season. You know, we were saying just like so many people look good on Instagram because all they do is just post their workout videos. Nick Young posted zero workout videos the whole summer. So we were just like, did this guy even play ball? And like, he looked like he was on his way out.
Nick Young was too busy like dealing with his girl situation.
Multiple booze always. Yeah, like, but yo, he's like,
new girlfriend alert.
I got to give him props, man. Like, he's playing well. I just read the other day that the Lakers bench is the highest scoring unit in the league at 50 points a game. Lou Will's been great, and you know, D'Angelo Russell has been outstanding. Larry Nance Jr. looks like a steal. Julius Randle finally healthy, looks good. So, you know, they're fun, man. I mean, I love, like, Laker games just fun to watch regardless because yeah. The lighting is so cool. And
but like, it's even more fun when the fans really feel like they could actually win the game.
Facts. And, you know, that beatdown of the Warriors was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, yo, you got to give Luke Walton a ton of credit, too.
Facts.
I forget who it was that somebody tweeted. Maybe it was our guy, Nate Jones. But it was like, you know, the difference, like, it's amazing to see what talented young players can do when they have a coach who's like encouraging them and building them up instead of a coach who's like tearing them down and shitting on
not
them constantly,
playing them at all.
Not playing them. Yeah. You're making a mistake. I'm yanking you out of the game. So you got to give Luke Walton a ton of credit for like instilling a lot of confidence in these guys. Go out there, like do your thing. Like, yes, we're a young team. We're not going to win a championship this year, but like, you know, this is the team we got. You guys learn to play with each other. Let's have some fun. Like, and look, I mean, building on that Warriors win, like, he can take that through the entire season now and be like, we can do anything.
I think they beat the Warriors late last season when nothing mattered. But to beat the Warriors, you know, five games into the season, it's like, oh, shit, if we can contend with the favorite in the West, like, why can't we be, you know, in the playoffs when it's all said and done? And to, you know, all the, quote, immaturity issues D'Angelo Russell had last year, I mean, you got to give the kid props for bouncing back and, you know, really taking a leadership role on this team and really being like looking actually like a mature, young, smart, really good basketball player.
And for wearing a headband now?
Yeah, I mean, that automatically puts you up in the top 10 of favorite players.
If you're an NBA player, I want to know what accessories you would be wearing on the court. Like, would you be like in 2K when you could just give them like every single accessory, wristband, arm sleeve?
Did you rock the headband when you played the Pee Wee?
No.
So disappointed
I didn't have like the super long hair back then, man.
I did for a few games. Now I can't do it because my hairline is receding. And like, if
wait,
I
doesn't
wear
it help? Doesn't it help with the hairline receding?
If I wear a headband now, there's like a line.
Oh, there's like a space between.
Yeah, there's a space between my. You can just see like the top of my forehead before my hair hits. It's not a good look for your boy anymore.
Yeah, nah.
So now I don't go with it. But once upon a time, man, I used to rock the headband. Even
love
not
that.
When I played basketball, I would just wear it to like school. It's like a fashion accessory, like the double headband.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit's for fire, man. Get a Chance Sports, it was like 3 for $10. Man, I miss the old days. Wear like a Syracuse football jersey with like a huge headband to school.
Yeah.
Good times, man. What were the sneakers that you used to rock to school? Remember we were talking about this the other week? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I had like the S dots.
No,
the Reebok S dot. The Fat Farm? I had Fat Farm sneakers. Yo, there was like a 2-year I'm sorry. If you look, they're advertising Slam Magazine. It's not my fault.
All right, facts.
Direct to consumer marketing, man. I had multiple pairs.
You could, I mean, you could probably hear the camera snapping in the background. We got our intern Jihad in here, so I'm feeling wild, self conscious. But
as he doesn't even know about that.
As soon as you said Fat Farm sneakers, he just put the camera down, shook his head so violently, like hell no, get me out here.
Yo, I had the full Atlanta Hawks, Glenn Robinson Atlanta Hawks Hardwood Classics jersey, like a full 3 sizes too big.
Yeah.
I think it was like an extra large swingman plus 2 inches of length. You know, you could always buy like the extra.
Yes.
I don't know why that even existed, but like, mind you, I was like 5'5 at the time. So I had that. I went and bought like the fitted Atlanta Hawks exact matching Hardwood Classics hat, and then I had the red, black, and yellow Fat Farm high top sneakers.
Killing.
I thought I was the freshest fucking kid.
And you wore this that
in ninth grade.
How many times a week do you wear that?
No, I only wore it once because this is what happened. I walked into like the team room. I was on JV basketball. I walked into the team room like as the varsity was like leaving the locker room for practice or something. And one, the entire varsity team just stopped and like stared at me and started roasting me. One kid was like, he was like, "Oh, did you like lay that out on your bed the night before?" I'm thinking in my head like, "Yes." One kid was like, "Oh, is it your birthday or something?"
Yo, that's I'm like, tough, no. Man. I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, it's all good.
Did it make you a better human or nah?
I have that jersey still somewhere, like my dad's attic.
I mean, it's
funny. I have to bust that out again just for the memories.
I mean, if you wore it to slam one, I'd be like, yo, this shit is fire.
Even the Fat Farm sneakers?
Nah, I mean, your sneaker closet is certainly upgraded. It can't.
I wonder where those are right now.
But speaking of wardrobes, how about your man saying that sweatpants should not be acceptable to wear anywhere?
Should I find that tweet? Should I find this fucker's Twitter account?
Yo, you know we're pulling receipts on people this whole season.
Yeah.
So you might as well get started
well,
now.
Well, first of all, before that even, I have a question for you about the Russell Westbrook. When he wore the photographer's vest,
okay,
to the Warriors game, right?
Yes,
which was like everyone made a big deal because. Well, I have 2 points on this. One is, so Russell Westbrook wears a photographer's vest into the arena as like his pregame and I guess postgame wardrobe. He must have worn it out of the arena too.
Nah, I feel like Russ gotta come equipped
with the multiple
fits, probably three.
All right, so here's my question though. Where did he acquire the photographer's vest?
He said he got it in when he was in either Spain or Italy over the summer. He said people
like
photographers
from a
had
photographer?
Those vests. I don't know, man. When you're rich as fuck, I feel like you
this
just
is
get
what I'm
anything.
Saying. Did he like have a friend who's a photographer and who's like, yo,
yeah,
I want to wear that?
Kevin Durant. I don't know. He was probably like told a stylist, like, yo, I like this. Can you? Here's $10,000. Can you please?
$10,000? That thing looked like a patrol officer's vest, man.
Yeah, but you got to pay the stylist to go get it.
Come on, my
man.
God.
Come on, Abe.
Oh my God.
So they probably went
Anyways.
Out and got it. They came back with it. But okay, to your
okay,
point.
Okay, you didn't answer that question at all, but thank you. My second question, or not question, is the comment is like during the broadcast of that game. They're like, oh, Marv Albert's like, oh, let's kick it to David Aldridge with a report. And his report was like reading back Twitter tweets about why Russell Westbrook like wore a photographer for his vest. I think like in 2016, an NBA broadcast is basically just like a bunch of people reading Twitter during the game and like regurgitating funny tweets like as sideline reports.
I mean, the silence is just me. One,
what?
How did it come to this? And
it's
two,
like, it's like, let's kick it to David. And he's like, well, Marv, I've been reading tweets during the game, and I saw a hilarious meme about Kevin Durant. Back to you.
Wait until they start citing backpages.com during a NBA broadcast. It's really going to be over.
Like, why does the sideline reporter even exist? It should just be like, let's kick it over to Twitter now. And they just, like, during the commercial, they just show, like, the funniest tweet.
They just have some guy, like, at a huge board scrolling down through Twitter.
How hard would that be? I mean, at this point, like,
that leaves so much, like, room for, not necessarily error, but coming across something like, say you file some really fucked up account and you're trusting that person to scroll down. It's just like a naked woman all of a sudden on the TNT broadcast.
This just goes back to my theory from the summer that we got to give guys their phones back on the bench.
At least one, right? That was the
thing, like a team
with
tweeter. Like, why do we need a sideline reporter? We just go straight to the source. Like, you know, if Sheck's not going to play, why can't he just be like the team tweeter?
Yo, imagine the injured. Like, if you're injured and not playing, you just live tweet a game.
Yeah,
not even from the team account, from your own
or
account.
Or Facebook Live it, or Snapchat,
sick.
Whatever.
So sick.
IG stories.
That'd be more entertaining.
Where's
than
the integration,
game?
NBA?
Yeah, I mean.
Number one, fix league pass.
Yes.
But number two, this is the second most pressing issue now that we got the CBA all figured out and stuff.
Yeah, you already have your announcers are just reading tweets to us on the air that we can all see.
This is what
so
I mean.
You might as well just take it one step further. But no, I love that idea. I think that's one of the best things we probably ever come up with. I don't know. What else you got?
Hold on. I got to.
Oh, you got to find the sweatpants tweet.
Throughout all
sorry.
Of this, I didn't even find the fucking tweet that you asked me to find.
Yeah. So long story short, for those who don't know Abe, it's rare that you see him.
Don't worry. The only people listed at this point are people that know us very well. So,
if you waited a month to hear this podcast, then you probably know either one of us very closely.
If
so.
This is your first time listening, you're probably so damn confused.
But anyway, I've never seen Abe not in the finest of linens, looking very, very, very cozy always.
In a strange turn of events, I'm actually wearing a belt today, so that tells you what kind of pants I'm wearing.
I remember once he came into the office wearing jeans, and I had to do a triple take, and I was like, you got a cord today or something? Is everything all right?
See, that's the exact same reaction as when I wore the Fat Farm entire outfit, and they said, is it your birthday or something? You gotta fly under the radar, man.
Not for nothing, I'm sweating my ass off in here. Can you find that tweet,
Yeah,
please?
I found it.
All right.
It's a Tom Hart, ESPN SEC Network, MLB, NCAA football.
Oh, this is like
blah,
a legit
blah, blah,
human.
Blah. Yeah, Tom Hart.
Yo,
man.
What?
ESPN something something. He said,
"We will find you."
On November 4th, I will never understand you grown-ups who wear sweatpants or gym shorts in the airport.
Okay.
That's it.
Wait.
I guess his point was like,
that's it? No, you had a response, man.
Oh, my response was just, that's the worst take I've ever, worst tweet I've ever seen in my whole entire fucking life.
You know how uncomfortable it is to wear like pants or jeans on a plane? I've seen people wearing suits on a plane. I just feel horrible for them. Like my father will rock like his like normal attire, like a button-down shirt and pants on a plane. I'm just like, how are you not so uncomfortable sitting here right now? Just put on shorts, man. You can do it. I know you want to look put together and everything, but no one's judging you at the airport.
I judge people more if they're like suited and booted. Like, what are you doing, bro? You're about
places,
to be lodged in a 4 foot
an Airbus.
Yeah, like what are you doing, dog? I think his point is like thinking that you never know who you'll meet like at the airport or on an airplane or something.
Airports,
I don't want to talk to anyone.
If you're at an airport, you
I
see
want
some
no attention
of the, some of the most wild outfits, period.
All right, I will say that like if you travel internationally, like I last year when I went to South America.
Okay.
And I
stunting.
Did like a little layover in, I think it was the Panama airport.
I didn't
now
know
that
you
is completely different.
You went to South America?
Yeah, I went to Chile.
Oh, word?
Yeah,
I
visit my
that.
Boy. Watched the Super Bowl. This is 2 years ago now. Whatever. It's all blending together at this point. But my point is that in some of those airports in South America, like it's like you're like at the club. Like everyone is legitimately dressed like they're about to walk into.
Is there a club in the airport?
Oh, One Oak or some shit.
Is
what?
There a club in the airport?
No. I think it's just like a different culture there.
Interesting.
A lot of like very good looking women dressed like they're about to like walk into the club, even though they're walking to the airport. But that is beyond the point because we live here in the United States where sweatpants is like the only acceptable thing you could possibly wear in an airport. Like I don't.
All right, let's bring this back to reality, man.
Nobody's disagreeing with this shit. So,
did you watch the Ben Simmons documentary over the weekend on Showtime?
Hell yeah.
Did you watch it for anything more than the Franklin Kaye cameo?
No, I mean, I think I was the first person to pause, screenshot, and post that on Twitter. So
flames.
Had to.
So, I was not here for this. there was a argument or conversation in the office when I was out last week regarding the documentary. And basically, for those who haven't seen it, it follows, it was on Showtime. It's called One and Done. It's really good. It follows Simmons and his family through his year at LSU. And basically, it's really, shit, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, he keeps it honest and it's candid. That was the word I was looking for.
All the way, all the way a buck.
Yeah. And Simmons is basically like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm here to go to class and go to school. I'm here to ball and I'm here to go pro and that's it. So I'm going to do that. You know, some people don't think that's a good look and it's certainly not a good look for the NCAA to have an entire documentary basically dedicated to that. I, for one, agree with him wholeheartedly that there is no reason for him to go to class if he's going to be there for one semester. And his quote was, I can't graduate in one semester, so why the hell should I go to class? And I agree. I don't think any of these kids, if they're there to play ball and they're on a scholarship to play ball and you're a top five recruit, and you're forced basically to go play ball for a year before you go pro, you should not have to go to class. You should just be there to work out, get your body right, and get ready for the pros, basically. I don't know. What do you think?
All right, so here's my thing, though. And I have complete mixed feelings on the whole entire thing because I think you're right. And Ben Simmons is a very unique case given that pretty much from the get-go, he was going to be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this doesn't apply to every single college basketball player, nor does it even probably apply to 12 or 14 basketball players. Like, his case is so unique because he was going to be the number one pick for like the last 2 years. Right. So of course for him, this is a business arrangement where, I mean, look, you only have to get a 1.8 GPA Division I NCAA basketball for the first semester to be eligible for the entire basketball season, because by the time the basketball season is over, your grades for second semester haven't even come up yet. So this is what all these guys do. This is no secret. Like, if you're a one and done kid, you go through the motions of the first semester, you get a 1.8 or better, and then you essentially don't go to class the rest of the year starting.
Is that true?
Yes.
No, I know what you're saying is true, but do you know for a fact that kids just don't go to class?
I think if you asked anyone that is around it, I think that's the answer you would get.
Okay.
Obviously, I can't confirm. I haven't spoken to everyone.
I'm sorry to call you out and be like,
no,
oh,
I think,
are you sure?
I think this is just, I think that's just kind of the way it goes. I think that's just a standard procedure if you're a projected first round pick, or if you think you are, which probably there's more of those than are actually first round picks.
Yes.
But so the one, I think the scene that you're talking about is, well, there's a lot of things at play here because, number one, I think you and I can agree that the LSU basketball coach is kind of an idiot.
I won't say he's like personally an idiot, but his coaching skills left a lot to be desired.
Okay, true.
I'll put it more politely.
Like, I think if, and not to say, look, these guys can go wherever they want. In Ben Simmons' case, he said early on in the documentary before he even got to college that he didn't even care about the NCAA tournament because he's from Australia. Means nothing to him. That being said, I think there are a handful of coaches, probably more than a handful, who, if the Coach Cal's, Coach K, even guys one level below that, who understand how to you don't care about going to class, but they understand how to coach you through the process of going through the motions in the best way possible to prepare you for the NBA,
right,
which I'm not sure was the case at LSU.
Because they never had anyone like him before.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, look, the scene that you're talking about, he like didn't go to a class, and then the coach, Johnny Jones, was like, some of you guys haven't been going to class, so there's going to be some punishment for that. And then the punishment was sat out for 4 minutes. He sat out a game for 4 minutes, and then he went in the game.
Yeah.
Like, there's just
a joke.
That's what I mean. Like, I almost, like, yes, at the end of the day, it's on Ben Simmons to navigate this himself. But like,
so
what, the coach is doing him no favors by essentially not only is he not helping him to do it right in the first place, but he's certainly not helping him by quote-unquote punishing him for sitting 3 minutes of a basketball game. There's just no correlation there.
Okay.
I guess my point is, and the point that some of the other people in the office were making on Friday when we had this discussion is, why not, if you're Ben Simmons, just show up at the class, put your head down, sleep through the class, whatever. Why are you actively choosing to not go through the simple motions of one semester of college?
So would you argue that he was just being immature about the whole situation?
I think you could make that argument. His stance of, I'm just here to play ball and get ready for the NBA, I completely understand, but it doesn't really hold up in if he was just like playing video games and didn't go to class because he didn't feel like it.
Right. Okay.
Because yes, is the system fucked up? Absolutely. But so until it's changed, unless you're going to go out of your way to sort of positively, actively make changes to it, I don't think you can just like sit at your apartment and not go to class and be like, I'm here to, you know what I mean? Like, I think you either go through the motions.
Grin and bear it, basically.
It's not even gritting and burying it, though. You just physically be in the class. He didn't even have to pass the class.
I don't know. I agree with you to a point, but it's just such a sham. Like, why?
Complete sham.
Yeah. You know, there's no reason for him to be on a college campus, period. And the thing that, you know, got, I wouldn't say really irked me, but, you know, they were playing all the sound bites, you know, throughout the season.
Yeah.
They would be like, you know, LSU's lost like five out of their last seven or whatever. And they would play like Skip Bayless, and they'd be like, you know, Ben Simmons just isn't, and this isn't Skip saying this, but this is, you know, the media talking head saying like, you know, Ben Simmons just isn't playing well. You know, he's got to be more aggressive. It's like, dog, number one, the team around him was just not very good. We went and saw them play live.
Yeah.
And number two, at the end of the season, he led the team in every single statistical category. Yeah. It's not like it wasn't like he wasn't playing well. So, you know, that kind of irked me. Like, it kind of pissed me off that people weren't embracing how good of a player he was. Instead, pointed to the fact that, you know, he was bullshitting his way through classes that he shouldn't have been going to in the first place, in my opinion. And that the team was losing, but it wasn't his fault they were losing. They just sucked.
Yeah. Now, I mean, just to clarify, like, I will say, if he missed whatever class this was or series of classes, like, because he was just completely worn out from the rigors of being a college student and trying to be the number one pick of the NBA draft, and, you know, he was just like dead tired or something, like, I kind of can understand that. If he missed it because he was training, I kind of can understand that, but I guess my point is, if he's missing a class
just because he
just didn't feel like it, or he just like went to be with some girl or went to play video games or something and actively was doing nothing, then I
you can't get that out of that.
I don't know. I just feel conflicted about it, I guess, is my point.
Yeah. And then the other part to me that stuck out was the sneaker part, where he was debating between Nike and Adidas. And you know, I thought it was just a cool look at how those deals go down, and it really is all about the money.
Yeah, at the end, he was like, "Yeah, they're both cool, but I need to see the contract."
Yeah, and like even his family was like, "Yo, the Adidas presentation was sick. You know, we really like what they got going on." They show little pieces of the presentation that they were allowed to show, and like Kanye West was involved in it, and Snoop Dogg was involved in DJ Khaled. So you know, shouts to Adidas for putting together a really dope package and presenting to him, and shouts to Nike for putting that money up getting their man. But yeah, you know, definitely worth a watch if you get a chance. I'm sure it'll be on until he plays again, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. But no, yeah, you should definitely check that out. I mean, if nothing else, like, it certainly can spark this kind of like debate about, once again, about, you know, what are we doing with this one and done rule.
Cool. You got anything else?
No, just feeling anxious about today.
What, election?
Yeah, man.
I'm not. Why?
I don't know.
All right. So you're just feeling anxious that you
can't put a finger on it? Is Twitter going to explode tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be great. But Twitter, speaking of Twitter, explodes like once a week. So, this will probably be the most monumental explosion of all time.
Do you think like once Obama, you know, isn't in the White House anymore, he'll maybe have time for us for the podcast or not? Or at least come through the slam run, play some pickup.
I mean, no.
Do you think he would be like an above average player at the slam pickup run? Or
yes. Actually, I don't know. You know what would be fire?
Him versus Max?
No, him versus Ben Osborne in like the old head division.
All lefties.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nah, I mean, Barry can obviously come play with us anytime he wants.
Yeah, he played this morning. Man, he balls more than we do.
Facts. Well, I mean, if you have like a court at your disposal, we don't really have that luxury. We can just walk into the backyard and start hooping.
All right, that's a good point.
Word. But yeah, gonna miss Barack. Not just because of basketball reasons, just because, you know, I thought he did a really good job, but that's about all I have to say.
Whoa. The politics talk. The political sphere. Podcast.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Jihad for stopping some flicks of us. Thank you, Abe.
Oh, you're welcome.
Shout out to Adam Figman.
We're back. Weekly.
Yeah, hopefully weekly.
Weekly.
We're back weekly. You know, we're hopefully getting some good guests lined up. Sincere apologies to anyone that was actually, you know, waiting on the pod and we just weren't coming through at all. So thank you for sticking with us.
Tweet us things you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
As long as they're not like pick and roll defense, X's and O's.
No. Anything Twitter related, we can definitely handle.
Any social media for that matter.
Yeah. And, you know, please follow Slam Online on all accounts.
Follow Slam Kicks on Instagram.
Yeah, follow Slam Kicks on Instagram. New account. Jihad actually took a ton of pictures for that, and they're really, really cool. We're cranking out some really good stories, some really good covers. So please read them, buy them. My dog is starving at home, man. I'm getting married. I got to pay for this wedding. Wild, stressful time in my life, but, you know, I'm maintaining, still watching 8 hours of basketball a day. So that's it. That's all I got. Abe, you good?
We good.
I'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace.